If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. We've all been hearing so much about this so-called reality reckoning. Even Vanity Fair did a huge story about it. But when it came out, was it huge? There was so much hype surrounding it, and then I think it really fell flat. They interviewed a handful of former cast members of the Real Housewives franchise, and I don't think they said anything that was too surprising or shocking, not much we didn't really know. But today's guest on the pod will definitely say some things that are going to shock you about the behind-the-scenes activities on another franchise show on Bravo, Below Deck, Down Under. Today, we have Laura Biliskalny. She was a stew on season 2 of Below Deck Down Under and was let go in the middle of production. That's not an odd occurrence on this franchise. Over the years, the captains have let others go before, but it was the circumstances around Laura's firing that made her story unique. Some might call her a controversial figure. Some think that she was the villain of the season, but we got a sit down with her and to learn more about who she really is as a person and not just a reality figure that only exists on our screen. In an exclusive interview, Laura speaks to me about her experience on the show, what she learned, and what she regrets, who she's spoken to since the show wrapped, and she drops a bomb on what was really going on behind the scenes that production didn't show, but they were very well aware of. Please listen with an open mind and an open heart to Laura Biliskalny. Laura, thank you so much for joining me on Misunderstood. It is an honor to be in person with you today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So before we start, I just want you to have an opportunity to clear up any misconceptions of your opinions on sexual misconduct.
Wow. Well, where to even start about Misunderstood on this episode? Mm-hmm. I do not support sexual harassment or anything in that sense. And I would always protect someone who is in that position. But I didn't have chance to do that because we didn't have that thing happening.
Right. So your stance is that what happened on Below Deck didn't actually happen the way it was represented.
Right. I do sympathize and empathize with the viewers who saw it. I saw it myself. It did look bad, but it's not exactly what happened. And of course, we could think so many bad things could have happened.
Yeah.
And fortunately, they didn't. But I think that's where the tension was really there.
Right.
What
so
could have happened.
Right. So your version is that there was a lot of misconceptions about what really happened, and the way it was edited made it look like something that it necessarily wasn't. And that's what you're here today to kind
Correct.
Of clear up.
Correct.
Okay, good. All right, so before we get into that, let's talk about you for a second. Tell me where you grew up, where you came from.
Well, I was born in Latvia, but I have not lived there for like 13 years, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's my background. That's where I grew up. And I was born in the year of Latvia separating from communism. So I guess we still have that traits and some kind of upbringing. So it was always tough love.
Okay.
And there's no even like how to say place to be sensitive or being like vulnerable or being soft in a way. You like always tough, you
Got
know?
Got it. So you come off a little bit colder, I think, than others.
Yes, I do.
And it's
But I'm
just,
adjusting.
Right.
I'm
well,
adjusting.
But it's you're saying that it's your upbringing and where you came from, right?
Yes.
Not that it's you trying to not empathize with people.
I think I am a very empathizing person, but I guess sometimes it doesn't come across like that. I think like my friends know I'm like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when I saw that, I was like, actually, once I stopped the episode and I wrote to Adam, I was like, it looks bad. I'm so sorry. You know, like I was not aware of it.
Right. Well, I think that happens to a lot of people. They see themselves on a reality show after the fact and they're like, wow, I wasn't aware that I could be like this. So that I think that's a common feeling.
That was definitely very entertaining. I was watching myself. I was like, oh, she's sassy. Or like, oh, she's funny. Oh, no. She did way too much there.
Right.
So for me, it was like seeing a completely different person.
Right. Isn't that interesting?
To everyone. It was. And you think the whole show was like how we experienced that. I'm not talking also just for myself. I spoke with people after. Mm-hmm. How we experienced that and how we saw it after was two different shows.
Right.
So it was very entertaining, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll get to that. But what brought you into yachting?
So I had this pop-up restaurant, if we say that word, in Barcelona called One Table Restaurant. I started 7 years ago when this kind of concept was not really out there. In Europe, we come a bit everything later than America. Maybe here it was already there, but for us, it was something completely new.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing great. I had rooftop terrace with one table that everybody can like book a place. And one of the evenings, it was a yacht crew. They were like 12 people from a yacht, and I have absolutely no idea what people do on yachts. Like in Latvia, we don't have yachts.
Right.
I don't have no idea of this concept, what people even, like if I ask Latvians, if you see a boat, do you think there's people actually working there and living there? They're like, no idea, you know? Maybe cruise ships, yes, but not the yachts.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no idea. And they saw the way I am, the way I work, I have always had very high standards. And they're like, you should be very good in yachting. And I'm like, what do you guys do there, you know? So that was kind of interesting evening. And they were like trying to like, you know, everybody's drinking. And they're like, oh, you should come for day work. You should do this and this. You should be a chef there. You should do that. So they gave me this kind of idea. But I was so committed to my business.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was like, sounds nice. It sounds like, wow, you travel around and make good money and you can live there and you have all these people you spend every day with. So I thought it's cool, but I was really interested in my business. And then maybe like nearly 2 years after, COVID happened and I couldn't continue hosting events because you could not have people from different households being together.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of my business was from America and the borders were closed. So I was just there like, what to do? And
right.
I was like, what to do? Oh, 2 years ago, these guys told me about yachts. So I'm like, okay. And I contacted one of my friends who is a yacht broker. She's like, you need to do this course and this course. I did it. And the day I got the certificate, the same day I got a job. And I was like, that was easy.
Wow. So what was your first job?
It was on actually as well old fishing vessel. They are very rare. And that was like on the show and the same as my first mm-hmm. one was renovated old fishing vessel. What's the name? Menorca. I was not there for a long time. I changed for better.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's actually how it started. I was a stewardess. I that time didn't dare yet to cook. Now I'm fully chef for the last couple of years.
Wow.
My last stewardess experience was on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, how had you watched Below Deck
before?
Before you even thought about being on the show.
So I do love reality TV. Mm-hmm. Guilty since age of 8, probably. Mm-hmm. But I that time I didn't know about Below Deck yet. But it was my friends in California. She called me. She's like, me and my husband, we're watching the show. We think you'll be very good at the show. And someone else told me, I was like, okay, if two people tell me about this, okay, I'm going to check it out. Mm-hmm. And I was looking, and I was like, is it really that stupid? Mm-hmm. I was like, is it really like that? And I was like, I want to go on a show and, you know, clear this out. I was so wrong. It's not you who's stupid. They make you like that. So now, like, everybody who I thought stupid, they're all excused. They're nobody's stupid.
But did you have to go into the show really having some skills? Like, did you have to know what you were doing and were you really working?
Sure. Because you still need to deliver high standards for these guests that we have, because also this show will show how the industry is. That's debatable,
so that part is real, where you're working and doing your job.
Yeah, yeah. You cannot apply if you do not have the certification of being on a boat, know about safety, about medical certificate and experience. No. It's all that part is all real. We come there to work, and the camera's there to show the outside world how it is to work on yachts. It's not exactly like it is, but they try.
Right, similar. So how did you actually get on the show?
I saw casting. I was looking for a job that time. I was in California having some time off. And I saw, that they're looking for a cast. And I was like, okay, I will send, because now I'm already watching the show. And I was like, I can do better, you know? Mm-hmm. And the same day I had a call. And then from there, it's a long process. It's a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And they want to make sure that people are ready for there to come. Because I can definitely tell you, it's not for everyone. You need to be very thick-skinned. Because you go on the show, you need to know you will have haters. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to deal with that, you can't go on the show.
Right.
And I knew that's happening. So it's like...
Did they explain all that to you beforehand? Was that part of the process?
So we did have a... help me with my English.
A psych test.
It was like around 500 questions.
Yeah.
Very interesting questions. Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever thought about being a guy? And I'm like, yes. Like, do I even answer it right or wrong, you know? Mm-hmm. There are many questions. So I think also for their part, they need to make sure the person who they take on is like strong and will survive and not going to take things personal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where how we all were there.
Right. Okay. So you did a series of interviews and I mean, that's pretty amazing though, that you just submitted an application and they called you that same day.
Yeah. Like they told me after the show, they're like, we loved you from day one. We knew we were going to have you from day one because you were like a good asset for TV. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. I guess I really was a good asset. I really popped your ratings, maybe not in a good way, but like, I send them, you're welcome, you know?
So when they told you you had the part, where did you have to go? How did that go down?
Oh, wow. Actually, that time I had a really good job. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know. It was like 4 months. Yes, no, like, you don't know. You don't never know. And I was like, I'm not going to sit and just wait, right? Mm-hmm. I had a really good job in Fort Lauderdale on a yacht and on a private house as well. So I had like double. I was so happy. And I had a call. You have to be in Australia in 2 weeks. You were selected. And I'm like, but my job? And actually, I was thinking for 3 days, and I was like, 50-50. I really, really wanted to go on a show, but I was like, I have a good job. Maybe it's not worth it. And I spoke with some captains. They're like, personally, me, I wouldn't take anyone from the show on my boat.
Interesting. My schedule has been crazy lately. Hasn't yours been? Between working on my podcast, having house guests, doing my daily activities, dealing with my daughter, I was just feeling stressed and sluggish and just not focused like I should be. I gave AG1 a try because I wanted a single solution that could help support my entire body. I'm terrible when it comes to taking supplements, daily especially. I always forget, and I was so over taking a handful of different things that just didn't seem to help. With AG1, I get a boost of energy and it supports my immune system and it tastes great. When I started drinking AG1 daily, I could feel a real difference in my daily health. I had energy again. I felt more relaxed and I could focus on work and be there for my daughter and the people that need me. That's because AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. So as a morning ritual, I make my AG1 supplement by adding 8 to 12 ounces of water, and I put a squeeze of lemon and a squeeze of lime in to mix it. And sometimes I actually put like very cold, icy water. I shake it and I drink it. And then in the afternoon, I put one drop into anything I might be drinking that afternoon, but I put one drop of the vitamin D3K2. And I just, you know, I don't have that sluggish feeling in the afternoon anymore. And it really has become my ritual. Even my friends have started taking the opportunity to drink AG1, and they tell me always how much they love it. They feel like their body is getting all the nutrients it craves. And I really couldn't agree more. AG1 is the supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. And that's why I'm so excited to welcome them as a new partner to Misunderstood. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/understood. That's drinkag1.com/understood and check it out. There is no promo code that you can use. You have to type that in exactly as I'm saying it to be able to get this free 1-year supply and free AG1 travel pack. So make sure you type it correctly. It's drinkag1.com/understood. I can't wait to hear how you feel.
Why is that?
Because they do show just the, let's say, fuck ups or the bad things, right?
Right, the things that you're messing up with, yeah.
It's not going to be so interesting to talk about how nice table settings you made or something, or, you know, that everything's smooth. They're going to talk about the bad things, and they're going to show the bad things, because that's reality TV. They want drama. Mm. So when they show condensedly just the drama, that's how people receive it.
Right.
And then for the captains, I think it's like they don't see it that serious, because their job is very serious.
Yeah.
What they see on a TV, it's all the not serious things.
And also, the crew is not the star, right? So in reality. So in the show, the crew was a big part of the show. It is the show. Whereas in your real life, I would think that your captains are saying, listen, you have to fade into the woodwork. You got to be really good at your job. We don't need to know that you're someone famous. So that's why they wouldn't take somebody on a show, probably.
Also, but just captains don't like people that think they're not serious about their job who goes on a show.
Yeah. I got that. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
And I was thinking, like, maybe I shouldn't go. And then I had a call from production, and they were basically begging me. They're like, we want to establish a long time
relationship
with you, because we see that you are good on cameras. So you can talk your mind, and you don't have this block with you. That's exactly what people want. They tried to make me understand that that's not my last time. So I was like, okay, so it's going to be a long time thing. So then you imagine my shock when that was stopped.
Right, of course. So how long did they tell you originally you were going to be filming in Australia?
I think it was 9 weeks.
Okay.
If I'm right. Something just before, something about 2 months. Yeah.
Okay. And were they paying you?
They do pay very small amount.
So are those tips that you get every week?
Tips we get. Yes.
To keep. So that was real. Yes. Like at the end of every episode, when you see how much the tips are, you guys get to keep that. Okay. But I'm assuming the fee that they're paying you is not equivalent to what you were making in your other job.
Sure.
Right.
It's not equal to our salaries.
Right. Okay. So now talk to me about the cast that you came in to work with. Did you know any of them, or had you met any of them before you started?
I felt that I know Aisha because I watched Below Deck.
Okay.
And she'd been on a couple of seasons before. Mm-hmm. When I saw her, I was so happy. I was like, I love that girl. Mm-hmm. I, like, can relate to her because she's so bubbly and lovely. And being with, like, she also doesn't have that, filter or something. She's like, you know, out there. And I was like, oh, my God, I love it. I would enjoy to work with her so much. So I was really, really happy. And the others, I saw Captain Jason, and I really wanted to like him. I desperately wanted to like him, but I didn't get there.
Right.
And we had no relationship, any kind.
Did he stay away from a lot of the cast? Or, I mean...
Yes.
He seems like he's not mixed in with the drama,
obviously.
No, he's
not. Yeah, and that's probably a wise thing to do.
Yeah.
But also he didn't know exactly what's happening. His ears was Aisha. So it was, she was put in good position. Whatever she wanted to go which way, mm-hmm. she would say to Captain Jason, and he would take it that way. That. Without actually knowing what's happening or actually talking. That's what I said in the last episode. It's not a leadership, it's a zero ship for this reason, that I thought he should have a conversation with that person that's involved, not just have ears with one person.
Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah. I mean, in anything you're in, that makes a lot of sense. So had you talked to anyone who had been on the show before, like before you guys started filming, or did Aisha say to you, here's what to expect, here's what to do? Like, did they coach you at all?
No, it's all surprise.
Okay.
No, because also we couldn't know who's going to be on the show because they don't want us to talk before. So it's like the shock factor when we come in, it's like, oh, you are there. Mm-hmm. That's why they kept us in the hotel in separate rooms, like, and we don't know who is there. And it's like a big surprise. And they want to capture that face on camera when you see like, oh, you are there.
Right, right. Yeah. So tell me about what the first days on the boat and the first days of filming were like. Like, how did your relationships get started? What did you think of everybody? How was the workload? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I have this, I haven't decided yet, is it a problem or is it a good thing? I think everybody's super nice. And then they just like go down. My mom always told me, think they are there and then they build up. Mm. For me, everybody's lovely. I love everyone. Everybody's super, super, everybody's best friends. Oh, that guy's so amazing. He's so amazing, you know?
So you mean you give everybody the benefit of the doubt?
Oh, more than that. Double, triple.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Yes. And then they tend to disappoint you, is what you're saying.
Yes, and then I end up hurt.
Right. Well,
maybe that's something to learn from.
Well,
from the
show. I think that happens to a lot of people. Sure.
Yeah, and every time it's like, next time maybe I'll be more careful. No, because when you meet people, you just see the good things about them. Mm-hmm. I have some amazing crew. I have everything's so amazing. The cabins were so big. Mm-hmm. The boat was so old.
So did you feel like, because you're saying you liked everybody at the beginning, obviously this is the first time you're being followed by cameras. How many cameras are there?
Well, you don't, wow. There's some that are running around with you, mm-hmm. and then there's there and there and then there. When you move and then they move with you, that's like kind of creepy. Mm-hmm. I don't know the counts, but they're everywhere. So if you think you can skip something, no, you cannot.
Right. So everything is...
Yes.
Scene.
And I think the first, I would say 2 minutes, and I was talking about Aisha, and the camera was just like here. Like, mm-hmm. they're not like in the distance. They were like really close. Because you imagine in boat, there's not much space. Those cameras are big.
Yeah.
So they need to be close to you. Sometimes those corridors are this wide, you know? The first 2 minutes, I was like, oh, why isn't my face? But after 2 minutes,
you forget about
it. Yeah, totally forget about it.
Yeah.
You don't feel them anymore.
Right. So did you feel like you had to act a certain way or do certain things or be argumentative at all to get more screen time? Did you feel that other people were behaving certain ways to get screen time? Or do you feel like you guys were really being yourselves and just being captured in everyday life?
I think we were being ourselves. At least I believe so. I was. Mm-hmm. Maybe too much. But I think... I think we were all like authentic selves.
Right.
I would want to believe that.
Okay. What was your relationship like with the cast? Go through who was on the boat and what you ended up having a relationship with all of them. You interacted with all of them. What were your thoughts on everybody?
So my first impression with Aisha was like, she's going to be my best friend. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the same like kind of way of working. We were very good. We are good, really good. Then when Margot arrived, I was like, oh, I couldn't wish for a better cabin mate. Mm-hmm. She was amazing. She was so willing to learn. So Aisha, she's mostly with guests and do the important stuff. So mm-hmm. she doesn't have time to go to cabins and, you know, show the little things. So I was always with Margot and she was always so thankful. I learned so much from you. Thank you for showing this. Oh, there's a way of doing this. So we are very, very good. I love Margot. And who else are there? Like with guys... Of course, with Luke, you could see in the first episode, we are straight away. It's like, where are you from? Oh, you're shaking hands. I like it. Like, we started straight away. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment that we were like, kind of maybe, oh, we have such a good time together. And I think that's why we kissed. Not like, oh, we kissed and then after we became friends. We were friends before. Okay. That we were like, we're having such a good time together. Like, oh, he's a cool guy. And he's like, oh, she's a cool girl. And then we went out and we kissed, but there was nothing... romantic in a way.
Right.
You know, it was so fun. And because we actually really liked each other.
Right. And you had mentioned to me that he was like the closest, you were really close with him the whole time.
And I'm sad that it was not shown. Mm-hmm. Because that's why maybe people have this question, why did she stand up for him? Because they just hooked up and then he didn't like her or didn't want her. And it wasn't that.
It wasn't that way.
They would just show the things which he did say. And we spoke about it after. He's like, I don't even know why I say that. You know, because... We both said, we had so many conversations. We have so many jokes and how to say one-liners to each other mm-hmm. all the time. And we were looking forward to the day going to show up. We were like, oh, this, oh, that, oh, this, oh, that. But that was not it.
So we've all seen the cruise nights out, right? Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's all about drinking excessively, having, you know, partying, having a lot of fun. So, you know, I thought it was interesting that became the main scandal, right? That people were getting drunk and then it got taken to a different level. But before we get to that scandal, sort of, you know, I just want to address like the drinking and the fun and the partying that was going on. You know, how real was that?
It was real. Mm-hmm. I think when we are entertaining guests, we are pouring hundreds of drinks of them mm-hmm. during a day. We're like, oh, I want to have that, but you know, you cannot have it. Mm-hmm. So you are there to fulfill all the needs of the guests. And you're also there, you also want to have it. So you kind of postpone your life for those days. You just work. Okay, one more day, we're gonna go out, one more day. You know, it's build up. And then when we can, we are like, I don't know, I would say chickens without head. You know, it's like, just run, you want everything. Like, I don't know, teenagers who've been kept in the house all the time, now can they finally drink? I actually felt like this.
Right.
And in normal life, it doesn't happen like that.
Right. So you had been bottling it up all week, facilitating the most fun week for these people on board, and then this is your one or two nights to go and let loose and
exactly.
have fun. And so you guys took advantage of that.
Exactly. And also, like, the conversation during day, they're mostly about charter. Okay, maybe when we clean in the days in between, then we maybe talk something casual. But that time, we can talk whatever we want.
Right.
So it's like everybody's looking forward to that time. It's like, I want to actually get to know you better, not just like how many towels you gave it to me, you know?
Right.
So it's a very exciting moment. And
right.
Alcohol is there and it's put in front of us.
Yeah.
So it's like we are encouraged to let loose, to maybe say something. You know, I think also they do expect that people hold back something because the cameras is around you. Mm. So when you have alcohol, maybe that wall goes a bit away and that's what they want.
Right.
And
right.
I understand that. It's completely understandable.
Now, they made it seem like you were pursuing the men a lot.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's probably they cannot show completely everything wrong about me. I can't say that. I saw it and I was like, damn, maybe I need to think a little bit about it because I don't want to come across like that.
Meaning you were a little overly aggressive.
Yes, and I didn't realize that. So it was good for me to see it. Mm-hmm. And I straight away also apologized to Adam. I was like, I wouldn't like that someone comes to me like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Just because I'm a woman, it doesn't have a difference. But in that matter, they also exaggerated that because he came to me the same way. Not the same way, but like, I mean, the same amount of interest.
He made you feel like your advances weren't overly aggressive like the show made it seem.
And also, there was two times I came to him and I asked, Adam, am I too much for you? I was actually giving him the opportunity saying like, you know, yes, or anything.
Right.
But he's this, let's say, kind, polite guy. He probably didn't want to upset me. Mm-hmm. But I was like, don't be a pussy. Just, I come with a question. I understand it's sometimes hard for yourself to go to the person and be like, okay, I have a problem with you. Right. But if I come to you, open up a question, I'm giving you an opportunity to say yes or no. And you don't take that twice?
But you're saying he's a nice guy. Maybe he felt like he didn't want to be confrontational. Yeah. And yes. I mean, it did look like you were overly aggressive sexually towards him. And then later on, he does this confessional, you know, a couple times saying that this was too much.
But, I understand him.
Yeah, so you're hearing
that. But that was not during the show. That was after. So that was already a thing and he needed to comment on it.
Right.
And I get it.
So you think that they kind of steered him and said,
yeah, sure.
Listen, like, what are your thoughts on why she was so aggressive?
Yeah. Me and Adam, we never had a problem. Also, after the show, we spoke and I said, like, sorry, it looks so bad. He's like, don't worry about it. It's like, oh, fine. And we are good.
Right.
We don't talk to him that much, but I did message him. He did answer. He's like, no worries. Apology accepted. Like, it's not a big deal, you know, kind of thing. And I think I learned from that more than Adam was. I learned from it more than Adam was suffering from the situation, you know.
Yeah.
He wasn't suffering that much. I learned from it. I was like, I shouldn't have like come that strong on someone. But it was also put in different perspective about the jacuzzi situation where I asked him, he had back pain and I was like, I know how to do like massage. Do you want massage? And at some point, you can also see that on the episode, he says yes. So I had his consent. So I was like, okay, I'm going to help my colleague to have, you know, back massage. So we went to his cabin where we go together. Not like the other situation where someone goes in the cabin uninvited or, you know.
Non-consensual.
Exactly. So we went there together. And I didn't even give him the massage. I did not give him the massage, okay? I was intent to. But then with different events happening on a boat, unfortunately, exactly at that time, everybody was asked to go to their own cabins. And it was exactly when I was there.
So you're saying the scene that we saw where you're on top of him, giving him the massage, it's made to look like, makes it look like you are giving him an unwanted massage and the producers had to come in and pull you off.
Yeah.
Whereas you're saying that's not why they pulled you off. They pulled you off because the incident with Luke and Margot had just happened and producers wanted to lock down everyone in their cabins.
Yes, because they had to get Luke out of the boat. Nobody's supposed to know that or see it.
Right.
So everybody was in, and we were like, what's happening?
Got it.
Like, is there some problem? Is there some surprise coming? Or no, electricity is not there? Like, we had no idea.
Right.
It was just unfortunate that I was exactly that time in Adam's cabin. And he did want that massage, okay? I just didn't give it to him. Right. So I was all put in, like, totally different. And I was watching, I was like, did that really happen?
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting to look back. And also, you guys, admittedly so with everyone, was drinking amounts that are not necessarily normal on a daily basis. So everyone's, you know, their actions were a little different maybe than how they would have been.
That, yes. But also, when you're so overworked and stressed and you feel different with cameras around, that amount in a normal day, which is okay for you, the same amount in that situation is too much.
Mm.
So it's not that we were drinking way more, that we're drinking all we can drink. No, it was the same amount, like maybe two cocktails, three cocktails. You just, you're in constant stress. You cannot be yourself like completely the whole time because you do have the cameras on. You kind of think all the time, like little bit, like how do you come across what you say and all these kind of things. And plus, we don't sleep much. You saw sometimes I went to cabin at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock, and in the morning we're there for breakfast service. So we are like overworked, tired. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would eat breakfast and not eat until night. So right. It's like, oh, your body's just like work differently. Mm-hmm. And then even that one cocktail for you hits like this.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, let's talk about the shower scene with Luke. That was made to look like you guys went into the shower. You had decided to make out with him that mm-hmm. night. Everybody had sort of switched partners a little bit. Mm-hmm. He at first had liked Margot, then all of a sudden she wasn't giving him the affection he wanted, so he was taking it from you, and you guys go into the shower. I think it's edited to look like you guys had sex.
Yeah, now it's a big regret to both of us that we didn't, because everybody thinks that we did anyways. So, yeah, but we didn't.
You did not.
We did kiss.
And that was it.
And it was like 2 minutes or something. I went there to ask him something, oh, you're going. I don't know what it was, but I know, in my onesie bikini thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
So it was nothing scandalous?
No.
No, unfortunately. No. Okay. Then they edit it to show how you get in bed with him and you sleep with him that night, and you came out of the cabin the next morning. Nothing
yes.
happened.
No, we just hugged. You know, when you're like away from everyone, you want kind of that affection. Yeah. It's not always romantic or sexual. And you're like, oh, let's like cuddle. We cuddled, and it felt so nice to not sleep alone, you know, right. And you have that. You're away from everyone. We know these people like for short amount of time, it's not your real friends or family. And then you get someone close with someone, you want that someone to be close. I don't know, watch a movie or like, I don't know, something, you know?
I understand.
That cuddle at night was just...
It was innocent.
So lovely and nice, very innocent, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I get that. So it's interesting so far how you've been explaining things that we have watched that seem so different than what your reality
so
of it was.
Imagine me watching it.
Yeah. One thing that they seem to harp on a lot was how long it took you to get ready, or you were late and you were tired and you were asking Aisha for extra time off or to switch mm-hmm. schedules. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that.
Okay, I guess it's finally time to talk about it, because I was not sure I want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's time. So I found out I was pregnant on the second day of the show, and I was in shock. That was first pregnancy for me. It was a big shock. I thought I have UTI and I had antibiotics. And it didn't help. And I spoke with the nurse of the show. She gave me a test, and then I see this positive. And I was like, you imagine that shock. And I'm in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Outside there's camera waiting for me, and I'm like in shock and crying, and I need to go be with guests.
So you're telling me that the show was actually filming and...
Well, I was finding it out.
Yeah,
and
while
I was in the bathroom.
Out.
And I was like, I need a few minutes to understand what's happening, you know. We're not supposed to text each other, but I thought this time is like, I need to talk with Aisha. I said, mm-hmm. like, can we talk without cameras? And she asked the camera, she said, yes, okay. And I told her what's happening, because I thought, like, she will be the one who can support me the most. She's like, oh, I send my stew for, I don't know, a breakup, because she knows what's happening with me.
Yeah.
So she will be the one who would have all the rights to know it. Mm-hmm. And I thought so for my protection that it doesn't, because I really didn't want someone to find out about it. So I told her for this reason, mm-hmm. and now it was turned completely different. That was hurtful, actually. That was more hurtful than all the other things, because they knew what's happening. And the production also knew, because I did go to hospital twice. And of course, I asked them not to show it because I didn't want to explain what's happening. Mm-hmm. But everybody knew I was in hospital, and they brought me to hospital. So they knew. And then they make it look that I am a long time in the bathroom. Maybe I'm like having a miscarriage at that time, you know, and I'm bleeding when I need like 20 minutes just to put myself together to go and dance for this guest, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So how did you handle that situation? Did you, you know, did you decide you wanted to have the baby and leave the show? Did you decide how did that plan out?
It wasn't the time to have a baby, mm-hmm. and I decided to not have it. Mm-hmm. And we had already appointment for that.
So the crew helped you make an appointment.
It was the nurse of the boat.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. And she helped you decide that week.
Yeah.
Did anyone give you any counseling on?
No.
On any of this? I mean, that must have been so much. You said it's the first time you've ever been pregnant.
I was in a really big shock. You cannot even imagine. And I felt but I felt so bad. I had all the symptoms you can imagine. I had like the sinus, and I had the morning sickness, and I have bloating, and I'm feeling nauseous. It's like everything you could imagine. And I had to pretend the whole time that I'm good. Mm-hmm. And the tiredness comes like this. You could be like this, and you want to fall asleep. And I even refused to take breaks because I was like, I'm fighting this. I'm strong. Nothing going to break me, you know, like I'm going to do this. So I was putting on that face on the whole time.
And so what I think is incredible, though, that no one was sitting with you and helping you decide, you know, do you want to go home and deal with this? Do you want to have some counseling about if you want to get an abortion, do you need some counseling that goes along with it? I mean, I think that's pretty incredible.
I think I came across so strong that they didn't think I needed.
I see.
They were like, do you want to go home? Do you want to talk? I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm this. They said, do you want to sit down? Do you want to take a rest? And I was like, no, I'm going back there. Mm-hmm. And after that happened, they're like, should we take you to hospital? I said, no, I'm going on a charter.
I see. So you ended up having a miscarriage, correct?
So yeah, we had appointment. It was between charters that I should go and deal.
How many
with
days
that.
Are in between charters, by the way?
Depends. Sometimes only one. Sometimes could be two. But not more than that. So we don't get to rest.
You had an appointment in between the first charter and the second charter. Is that what it was? To go get an abortion.
Yes. And we were still on a charter on Monday. So that was planned for Wednesday. On Monday morning, I wake up with pain that I cannot explain. And I was bleeding extensively. How do you say it in English?
Extensively.
Extensively. And I was in pain. So bathroom was the only safe place I could be. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the nurse straight away. I was like, okay, we don't need that appointment because this is happening now. She's like, oh, I can come and get you and we can go to hospital. And now we did. And it was so long waiting lines, like, because it's like walk-in. Mm-hmm. And they say, we don't know how long you're going to wait. And I say, I'm leaving. They said, you can't leave. Because the doctors has asked you to be here, and if you need to sign a paper that it's on your own risk that you leave, because we are accountable for you now, you're in hospital, you came here with your situation, we have to check you before you leave. And I said, my charter is coming, I have to go. Everybody disagreed with me, they said I need to stay in hospital. I signed the paper, I went, and the nurse said, like, please go back. I said, no, drive me back to the boat.
Wow.
Yeah. And when I'm like that, and they knew it, and still make me look that I'm making long time in the bathroom. I don't even use makeup. That's why people like having these memes. Oh, she went in looking the same, came out the same, you know? And I was like, probably even less, because I probably cried and my mascara was less than I went in, you know? But that was my only safe place where I could be.
So besides Aisha, did the rest of the crew know what was going on?
No.
So they did not?
No.
So was she off camera at least sensitive to what you were going through? Or was anyone sensitive to what you were going through?
Since she was the only one who knew, that only was her. She was. She was like, she was the one who said, do you want to go home?
Yeah.
And I said, no, I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you felt like you got some support or someone being friendly to you, even though it seems like you didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I think she and the main producer as well. We had a little girls meeting and she was there for me.
Okay. So the producers knew, not just the...
But I thought the more I'd be like, oh, I feel so bad. I try not to tell that I feel so bad because they'll be like, oh, we need to dismiss her.
I see. Yeah. You didn't want to lose your opportunity.
So even if I was bad, I was like, I'm fine. I just need like 20 minutes in the bathroom, you know.
And did they ask you if you could put this on camera at all?
No, I asked them from the beginning, can this be like private? And they straight away said, yes, sure.
Got it. Okay.
They didn't ever ask me.
So I think a lot of people now hearing this are going to say, well, but I watched her get wasted with the rest of the crew. Explain the timeline of that.
The first time I went out when I was pregnant, mm-hmm. You could see me walking inside the boat and going straight to my cabin bed. Mm-hmm. I didn't party with them. And that time I already knew I'm not going to have any baby. So I was like, I'm going to have a drink. You know, because I knew.
So you knew, but you didn't get as wasted as you did later on in the season.
Yeah, the last time. Well, maybe that's something to learn from. I don't want to look like that. That was not a proud moment to lose something like my eyes. I don't want to look like that. Mm-hmm. So it was actually good to see. I could learn from it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just to end on the subject of the abortion, though, were you ever cleared? Did you find out you were okay? The baby, you had had an official miscarriage and you were no longer pregnant, and then you just moved on? Yes, so they handled that for you?
Yeah, they did help me that.
Okay, so even though you didn't stay at the doctor's, at the hospital?
I went later.
You did, okay.
I think on my own, yeah.
Okay, all right, and how are you okay now?
Yes, thank you. Okay.
All right, so let's move on from that for a second. Let's get to the timeline of when everyone returns to the boat the night that this
the
whole
night.
Scandal, the night of the
I
big
need a
scandal.
Drink for this. I only have water.
Okay. Yeah, I need a drink for this too. All right, so the timeline gets a little fuzzy. This is in between how many charters have you guys been on now?
That one was the third.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is true in the arc of the episode. I mean, that seems like they were very clear of, you know, they didn't make that up. This was that kind of the beginning of when you guys were there. So lead us through what happens that night.
What happens that night? I also have some memory loss from that night, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens?
Well, the biggest point is that everyone was pretty wasted.
Yes, we had a lot of time, a lot of fun in that. I have even like some interesting videos from that dinner. We were all dancing, like, I don't know, giving striptease to each other. It was wild. Mm-hmm. And we come back to the boat, and that time was still COVID times, and it was curfew that the restaurants wouldn't open after 11. So production also wanted us to, you know, not cut the night at 11. Mm-hmm. So it's like, just continue the party on the boat. Mm-hmm. So we are in those taxis that we have to get back. We all agree, let's go to jacuzzi. Everybody, yeah. We come to the boat. One wants their noodles, one wants the, I don't know, shower, change, call mom, whatever. Mm-hmm. So everybody's kind of getting ready for the party. Someone is making a drink. And Luke was the first one who already went up because he was ready. He was the most ready, you know. Mm-hmm. He goes in the jacuzzi and you can see the scene. He's sitting and looking around. Is anyone coming or not? Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, I'm going to go and check it out, because he was just sitting alone. Like, you know, you're in the mood and you're just sitting there alone. It's like bus killer, you know. Mm-hmm. So he goes downstairs and asks who is coming. We're like, yeah, we're coming. And everybody's going up and he's like, where's Margot? He's trying to be like a nice person, not to leave one person behind, because they just also had a good night that night. They kissed and,
yeah,
you know.
Clarify what you mean by good night, because up until this point, the viewers have seen that she has kind of torn between two men, you know, going back and forth and flirting with both. And, you know, there's Harry that she likes and that very much likes her.
Yes.
And then there's
He's
Luke.
Such a cute guy.
And then there's Luke that...
Luke is more interesting for her.
Right. And more
Harry
of
was
a catch.
A very, very, very nice guy.
Sweet guy.
And that's what she said herself. I never go for the good guys. I'm always going for the bad guys.
Right.
You know, I should maybe change that, but this is how it is.
But on this night in question, she was getting a lot of attention from Luke, and she was partaking in that attention. Like, they were making out, they were dancing together, they were clearly connected that night. And you've mentioned to me before that this is, you know, everybody sort of hooked up with everybody, right?
Yep.
I mean, this was like a round robin of stuff. And it didn't seem scandalous, right? It was just a lot of kissing, making out.
Yeah, we like each other so much. Like, all crew, we are so good. Mm-hmm. We were completely different than you see now on cameras. Like, we were so good. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't know we even have any drama there, except that incident.
Right.
But I really like Margot. I'm not sexually interested in women, but I just really like her. We also kissed because, like, oh my girl, I'm just so like you, like, you know? Mm-hmm. You know? And, like, friendly kisses, okay.
Right. Not a makeout, you mean?
Well, we.
A little makeout.
Not
a
like,
little drunk.
Yes, but out of love, like, girl, okay. Like, I'm so happy you're my roommate, you know, this kind of thing.
Right.
And, yeah, we go back. Luke is there alone. He comes to check us on us. He's like, okay, Margot is left. Like, where's Margot? Because everybody's already going. Mm-hmm. So he goes in the cabin. Margot, are you coming? And he sees her sleeping. And he asks her, Margot, are you feeling okay? She's like, yes, sleepy time. He asks, are you feeling 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10? She's like, 10. So she's talking to him. She feels very good. So he's kind of asking, so are we, like, continue what we started today? Like, are you coming to the jacuzzi?
Now, wait, let me stop you here. Do you know this because of what you watched back, or you heard this down the hall?
No, I didn't hear it.
Okay.
No, I've spoken to Luke, and also it's, like, kind of thing obvious. Like, I was down when he was coming, and he said he's going to check on Marco. We all left. We were not there.
So no one was there?
No.
So, okay,
so
go ahead.
He went to imagine like if all of us, seven or eight, how many we were going and she's left behind. So he kind of wanted to make sure that she doesn't want to join. So mm-hmm. he went there. I can agree. He could just stand there and wake her up and say, you're going to come. He don't need to come in a bed to ask that question. Mm-hmm. I cannot defend him there.
Right.
But because I think, okay, there are a few drinks too many and you have this like, we have this kind of
connection.
If I'm next to her, it's like, I don't want to use like bad words, not like accepted, but like we were close. We are in that aura of each other. So mm-hmm. maybe he felt comfortable to lay down to ask her, are you okay? Like he was just like worried if she's okay mm-hmm. and if she's going to join or if she's like feeling very sick.
But I think the question was that he got in bed naked.
No, he did not.
Okay, explain.
So he was in jacuzzi. Mm-hmm. He comes down, like, guys shorter, like, more than our bikinis. It's, like, dripping all mm-hmm. wet. He's taking it off and put the towel around him. Mm-hmm. So because it's all dripping, you know. So our cabins are just next to each other. And he was like, oh, should I, you know, go back to jacuzzi? Or is it happening? Or mm-hmm. we are, like, calling night? So he put the towel around and go to check if we are coming. Mm-hmm. I was not there anymore and Marco was there. So he goes in the bed, ask her, and then comes down from the bunk bed, mm-hmm. the towel dripped like this. Mm-hmm. The towel dropped.
Right.
Unfortunately, the towel dropped. And you could see that he didn't go in a cabin naked. He had a towel because he was in jacuzzi before.
But he did get in the bed naked. I think that's where...
No, he did not. There's a towel around him.
Oh, you mean he got up on the bed with the towel
exactly.
around his waist.
So then,
I see what you're saying. When he got off the bed, the towel kind of flipped
drunk.
Down.
Uh-huh. The towel is like, you know, put in like this. Mm-hmm. And he comes down and the towel dropped. Can you imagine being drunk? You have a camera this big in front of you and you're naked in front.
I rewatched it yesterday and I agree with you that it does look like when he's standing there saying, give me a break, dude, or whatever he says, get
he
the fuck out.
He
looked like he was saying, give me a break because you're filming me and I'm
naked. Exactly.
And
imagine yourself being like,
and he was naked.
in front of a big camera.
I did get that. I did feel like that
he says
was believable.
He was just closing the door to have that 1 second to lift the you know.
Right.
I think everybody's, the first reaction of self-protection would be that. I want to cover myself.
Sure.
To go out. So he grew up and he was annoyed because they keep on opening. They're like, give me a moment to have the towel.
Right.
He had no bad intentions to Margot or to anyone.
Right.
Ever. And he took the towel, went in his cabin, never came back again. Like, he wasn't, not his intentions. The only intention was like, are you joining us? Are we continuing the party or not? And then the party finished. And then it was the whole different story.
Right. So I think that's where it gets interesting because then it was like a buzzkill, right? Mm. He goes into his room. Aisha goes and talks to the captain and says he was so embarrassed of what he did. He locked himself in his room. We can see he's just sleeping.
I think captain locked him in so he wouldn't leave. I don't think he did.
So the way that they worded it is that he had locked himself in and his bunkmate had to go sleep elsewhere because he couldn't get in. And, you know, it was interesting the way that people categorized it the next morning where Margot said she felt something weird had happened. I think Aisha had her own issues with sexual mm-hmm. harassment in the past that she was triggered by that made her
exactly
get
that happened.
Upset.
Margot didn't even remember what happened. She was told what happened.
Right.
Aisha came to her, like, oh, do you know Luke came in your cabin naked? She's like, what? Margot had no issue with it and Margot wouldn't have any issue with it.
Right.
That was all made for, oh, we have opportunity to have this important topic to be spoken about. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Okay.
We don't care about that will hurt other people, but we can make it bigger. We can have attention about it.
Well, you're saying that you guys were close. I mean, did anyone besides you, at least on camera, say, well, wait a minute, you know, I don't think that was his intention. That sounds crazy. That's not
Nobody had balls to do that because they'll be judged because they're not a part of the bigger group. Oh, everybody thinks like that. I should go that way. Mm-hmm. Because it's more safe.
So what were the words?
They'll be thinking all the same.
Right.
You know? It's like a peer pressure.
So what was it about the stance that you took that got you fired?
Sorry?
What was it about how you reacted? Why did you get let go?
I was like, why did it happen? What did he do? Without even me knowing what happened, mm-hmm. knowing Luke, I know that he didn't have any bad intentions with him. I was not there, first of all. I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I didn't have a chance to Luke because he was already sent away. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows nothing, and they're not going
to
show anything.
And even Margot didn't get a chance to talk to Luke, correct?
No. And Margot doesn't even know what happened. Right. So in that moment, I know absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I know Luke would not do anything bad. So I was like, that's not bad. I feel it's wrong. It's like, why was he let go? And then they're like, oh, Laura cares about that situation more than she cares about Margot. And it's not true. I care a lot about Margot. I went to her and I asked her, honey, what happened? And she's like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, okay, whenever you're ready, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. And we never did.
Yeah.
And then after I was let go, I called Luke. I was like, Luke, buddy, tell me why I got fired. So what did you do so bad that I deserve this? But like, I was like, I'm not regretting it. I have a feeling that you didn't do anything bad. He's like, Laura, I have no idea. I was like, okay, we're going to see. I'm there with you.
Well, that shows you the power of how people behave when they are drinking. If he didn't remember and it got him, you know, he lost his time on the show. He lost his job. I'm sure he's having a difficult time recovering from that stigma.
I think he's very strong. He's been my, supporter and my inspirer of being strong.
Inspiration.
and not inspiration and not to be caught in the things that people try to project on you.
Sure.
You need to know who you are and what happened, what actually happened, what not could have happened.
So you're saying that they made a lesson out of this as opposed to the reality that it was innocent, but it was inappropriate because mm-hmm. of people's behavior, because of drinking too much, obviously stepping over boundaries of going into people's rooms that they shouldn't, you know, not having verbal consent when somebody wasn't drunk to even, you know, be next to them when they were trying to sleep. So all these things went down. But in your opinion, would you say that you believe that is not okay?
To have no consent, of course, not okay.
Right.
But,
I mean, you know that even though you like someone, that doesn't mean they don't do bad things.
Yes.
Right.
For sure. But I think the fact that she was talking to him, like, if she'll be, like, completely passed out drunk and don't even realize that he's there, she was talking to him, so I thought, like, they're talking.
Right.
Well,
I think the issue there is that no means no, and even though she wasn't able to say no, you know, you could have a really nice date with somebody, and then they can rape you, you know, and you can't blame the woman for having a nice
date.
Have
happened in my life. But
so
nothing
I think
happened.
Nothing happened. And I
he
do think...
He didn't rape, and he didn't try to push himself on her or kiss her or anything. Nothing happened.
Right. And the issue is they were trying to prevent something from happening if that...
Sure.
Was going to go down and take that turn. But nobody does know, you know, but you lost your job for supporting him as opposed to the woman in the situation or the victim. I shouldn't even say woman.
So if she would be a victim, if he would try something on her, I would 100% be against it. And I would do everything with Margot, like for Margot and with Margot. But because he didn't do anything, I couldn't stand up about something that might could have happened.
Right.
If he kissed her or something, even that little thing, it will be a different story from me. I will be a warrior of the girls.
Okay. When you were called to the bridge by the captain, what reason did he give you for letting you go?
That crew doesn't feel safe around me, I guess. I didn't actually know why I got fired. I asked them for a year. I had no idea.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that is interesting if he said the crew didn't feel safe and...
He said about boundaries and Adam. I think he was kind of vaguely touching them, but I like didn't really understand. I was like, okay, it's not gonna happen again. Like,
okay,
sure. It's good you call me for saying this. So I see with other captains, they have problem or issue. They talk, and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, Captain, not gonna happen again. Well, but I didn't have that.
But that's an interesting perspective. So from their side, they must have seen this. You know, aggression towards Adam a little more maybe than you were seeing, because you're saying that later on. You know, when he did the confessional 8 months after the show, that they kind of exacerbated that and made it look more than it was. But I think the captain was saying at that point.
Captain didn't know. Adam came to Aisha and said, Aisha actually asked him, oh, I see Laura's kind of like, you know, on you on. He's like, yeah, I don't want to tell her, but you know. So she's like, oh, I have one opportunity to let Laura go because she didn't want me there. Because you saw, I made her look bad quite a few places because mm-hmm. I was right about many things and it did look bad on her. So I was not her favorite.
Right, I see.
She's supposed to be the good one and the liked one. Mm-hmm. But I my intention to be good and do the right thing wasn't to be better than her. It was for our department to succeed and she took it personal. So it wasn't personal. So she went, Aisha wanted me out. So she went to Jason and be like, oh, we have this problem with Adam. I don't want Laura there. And he's like, oh, okay.
So after you left the show, what was your relationship with the other crew like?
Oh, with Serena, good. We have matching tattoos.
Oh.
Yes. We are, like, I really adore the woman. Like, she's so good in cooking. She's an amazing chef. I think her position on the boat is the hardest. I know we all think our positions are the hardest, but I think hers really is. Mm-hmm. I really respect her. We spoke quite often, sending each other, like, I'm a chef as well, like, oh, this is a nice lunch you made. You know, these kind of mm-hmm. things. And talk a little bit about the show. We met up in West Palm, spent, like, all day together. Luke, of course, as it was on the show, he was my closest person on the show, and it was has been the closest person after the show. Margot, we've been talking a lot. She's been apologizing to me that how that all came out. Like, I have really nice messages from her, actually. On the way here, I was reading them. She's like, I know we come from different backgrounds, and I'm not wrong, you're not wrong, it's just different. Mm-hmm. I'm more sensitive in these kind of things, and you are not, but I can't blame you for that, because she said, sometimes I wish I had a thick skin like yours, but I'm just this way. And I'm like, I'm sorry that I couldn't sympathize with you, because I don't feel it like that. It doesn't come from me, but it shouldn't matter. I should ask you how you feel and feel for you. Because for me, that's nothing, you know? But right. for other people, maybe it's not nothing. So with Margot, also very good. And actually, Jamie. I didn't get to see her in person. Yep. She took my place.
Right.
And I couldn't wish for anyone else to finish in my place. She's amazing.
Great. Okay, so you had relationships with people after the show. It wasn't that they turned their back on you.
It was after the show.
After it aired.
After the show. And after the air, that's a different story.
Okay.
Because I'm the villain. So it's not going to look good on them to be friends with me.
Right.
So then that changed. So then only Luke and Jamie left. All the rest, gone.
Wow. Okay. How come Luke has not come out with a public statement?
Wait for it.
Okay. So you obviously watched the show when it came out. You obviously have a different reaction from what you're saying reality is. What do you think is the most misunderstood thing about you?
That I support rape or sexual assault, and that the interest with me and Adam was only one-sided. They also didn't see the kiss where he gave it to me. I wish they did.
Okay, interesting. How has this changed the trajectory of your career since the show aired?
I don't think it has, because I am still with the same job that I was before it was aired. My bosses know I'm there. They laugh about it. They'll be like, they know who I am. And they say, of course, I think people actually understand. There's a big part of people that understand and they see through it. I have people like messaging me on Instagram. Even like last week, you're my favorite on Below Deck. And I don't even understand. I was like, I was portrayed so bad. How can I be your favorite character? And I asked them, why? I have like at least, I don't know how many, but many. And I asked them, how? Why?
And what was their reason?
You were so real. You're so sassy. You spoke your mind. You were the only one down on earth. You were so real. I think the real was coming up the most.
Yeah, right. That you were transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting to watch you.
So there was no reunion. You never got to tell your story, explain anything, or apologize. First of all, why wasn't there a reunion?
I think because,
like, if any time to have a reunion, I feel like that would have been a show for everyone to get together and talk.
I think when there would be a reunion, they would actually see that we are not that bad with each other. And they'll be like, oh, we made it a big deal and actually it wasn't. Mm-hmm. That's my guess. Right. I don't know. They would be like seeing me and Margo, hi, like with all everyone. And be like, oh, but she did something so wrong. Everybody should not be friends with them, you know?
Yeah.
I know that Captain Jason, Aisha, and others spoke with Luke after the show very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry, Luke, you're such a good person. I was so, so unfortunate that this happened. Mm-hmm. Captain Jason asked him to work with him 4 months later after the, if they really thought he did something so wrong, Captain would never ask him to work with him off the show.
Right.
So,
So, I just think it's very clear in this hour that we've had together that you've really talked about the fact that producers really do a job of editing.
They're great.
And
they're so good in their job. I mean, this is their bread. Mm-hmm. They are great.
Yeah.
Not good for me, but they're great.
Right. Would you ever go back on another reality show?
It's a good question. I've been asked. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like thinking.
Okay.
I'm thinking.
So we might see you again somewhere?
Somewhere.
Okay.
But I'm thinking.
You might be on one of those villain shows.
I think that's what I should do.
Yes.
That would be
a good booking for you. If you could go back, tell me one thing you would do differently.
That's a tough question. Not many, actually. I was myself, but I would drink less.
Okay.
So I have maybe better decisions mm-hmm. out of that. And what else? Oh, maybe don't trust so quickly. And then being like, oh, so the trust needs to be earned.
Yeah.
I gave it away in a split second.
Okay. Where are you working now? You're still working in yachting, yeah?
I do.
Okay.
I'm actually personal chef for the family I work for. So it could be travels, could be their house, could be yachts.
Great.
Yeah.
And you are happy?
Very happy.
Good. Well, it was such a pleasure to meet you. I wish you luck in the future. If people want to find you, where can they find you? Like your Instagram.
They can find me on Instagram, L Bilene.
Spell it.
LBILNE. Maybe not right.
Okay, well, we'll put it up.
L Bilene.
Okay, great. I really appreciate you being here. I'm thankful that you cleared it up. Last question for you. During this whole reality reckoning thing with Bethany talking about how stars on reality TV are edited in a certain way and that's affected their lives. Has that been something you've been following? Have you reached out to Bethany? Is that something that you feel like you want to get on the bandwagon with?
I haven't actually seen that. I think people really wanted me to be affected by it mm-hmm. negatively. And I actually have thanked them all. That it made me stronger. I realized with all the negativity come my way that it didn't influence me, and I felt so strong about it. I was like, that's coming my way, and I have this in front of me.
Right.
And I started to love myself even more. I was like, oh, you're actually awesome. With all the negativity, I started to go to gym. I bought roller skates. I fell down. I'm twisting my ankle. Started paddle, all these things, and I was like, I'm actually very independent and happy with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And all that what I saw it didn't touch me.
Right. Okay. All right. Good to know. Well, thank you so much. I hope people reach out to you. I hope people do give you a chance. I think you have explained a lot of things and clarified a lot of things. And I think that is not only good for you to be able to have a voice, but I think it's good for other people to hear and realize that not everything you see on television is reality.
Exactly that. And
right.
Thank you for having that cleared out and opportunity also for viewers to have that experience.
Absolutely. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at infomisunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.